Hello, you moneymakers, savers, hoarders, and if you're anything like us, spenders. Here on The Money Party, we don't just talk about budgets and financial planning. We also dive deep into the things that keep us from living a financially free life. From financial mindset to mental health and why we try to keep up with the Joneses. Or should we now say, the Kardashians. Let's get this party started.
Okay, where are we and what are we doing
here? I don't know.
Where's my paper? All right, this is our first episode of the Money Party Podcast. Shelby, why did you want to do this podcast?
I've had a calling for a couple of years now, as you know, to do something creative and go outside of my normal, everyday, full-time job. And for a long time, I've been wanting to step out and do something, but I never got to that point. And then one day, I was at hockey and sitting in the car, and I was like, why don't Lee and I just do something together? And what would be great is to do something around money, although you don't manage the money. I am not a money expert, even though I manage the money. There's a lot that we need to learn. And I thought what would make it great is that we would do this together because it would benefit us in the sense of money, learning about money, being educated on money, being financially free, whatever that means to you, because it can mean anything to anybody. But I thought it would be fun because A, it would give us something to do together, right? Like, I'm really nervous for this episode because we're going to, I think, open up a can of worms, which I think it'll be fun, but I think it'll be great. However, I also thought it would be fun as we go through the process and learn this, go through this money journey, that we could share it with other people who may be in the same boat as us, who can relate to us, who can feel comfortable coming to this space and walk away with some great advice or become financially free or what have you. So all in all, I really wanted to, number one, do this for us, make it fun. But not only that, share it with other people who are in the same boat and who need a space to go to learn, to listen, and possibly even vent.
You said something very interesting to me, and I'm glad you said it. It's financially free. And what does that mean to you? And that's my first question, because I personally have no idea what that means. And is it even a real thing? Or is it just something that people talk about? Like, oh, become financially free, buy my book, become financially free, follow my podcast, become financially free. It's almost like, is it like Weight Watchers or a Nirvana? Like, does anyone ever really reach that Nirvana? Are you ever truly financially free? Because we live in a society amongst other people and there's always that outside influence. So I would argue that financially free is probably just kind of like a dangling carrot, but if you're chasing that carrot, you're still on that journey, right? So sure. Maybe it's just financially free is a path instead of a destination.
Sure. No, I think that's a great question. And I've taken some time, as you know, who prepares a lot, to really think about what that means. And I think you're right when you say it's kind of like the carrot, and we don't know what the true meaning of it is, and we can say all these things about being financially free. But I think what it comes back to is it depends on you. In order for you to feel financially free, what are those things? And I think it's going to be different for every single person. And it might even be different for you versus different for me. And I'll give you some examples. So I think one of the important things for me to feel financially free is I need to start changing my mindset around money. And this is stuff that comes from history, right? From my childhood and things that I've been told or things I've experienced in regards to money. And so I think the first thing in my journey to being financially free is changing my mindset. The second thing I think about when I think, oh my gosh, what it would feel like to be financially free, is that I have full control of the money versus the money controlling me. And what I mean by that is I know where the money's going. I know what we can and can't do. But I feel like there's times where The money controls our decisions. So if we want to go on a vacation, we can't. Why? Because we don't have the money to do it. And maybe that's not the best example, but when I started to think about that, I'm like, who's in control? Is my money in control of me, or am I in control of my money? And then the other piece is, it's simple. I want to be able to automate everything. I honestly don't want to have to go in manually and pay bills every month. I want it to happen on its own. And we're not at that point. And false. One day.
That's not true.
That is true. I go in every day or every month.
No. The automation portion of this. Whenever I say, hey, we could save, $5 a month if we do automatic payments, you do not want it to, because you're like, well, what if the money this and what if it's not that? So automation, you have to let some things go, right?
100%. And I agree with you.
Maybe that follows back to your changing your mindset.
Changing my mindset, but also ensuring that there's enough money to cover the automation, right? If you see what I'm saying there.
Yes.
My point is, I would feel very free and free of the financial situation if we could just automate everything. Honestly, that's just a little piece. But long story short, or long answer short, you're right. Financially free, I believe, is different for everyone. And you may never find that, right? It's just like doing one thing. You have a goal at work and you finish that goal, but it doesn't feel like enough. So you want to move on to the next goal or go do the next step or the next level. And it's probably going to be that way. But if you have some type of goal or what it may mean to you in mind, I think it'll slowly help you get there. And then you can move on to those next steps and so on.
So you brought up something pretty interesting. You said the way you grew up. And I think a lot of people don't really consider that. Like the way that you experienced your parents dealing with money, or your friends that you had, or the school you went to, like that all really, I think, plays a major role in where we're at, how you view success, how you view finances and stuff. And it's all from just like this stuff that you had no idea was affecting you. So how did, where did you grow up? I know this, but for our listeners, where did you grow up? Like, what was your family life like in terms of finances?
Well, I grew up in Grand Junction, Colorado. I was a single child for 10 years. And throughout my childhood, my mom was pretty much a single parent. And she did majority of taking care of me. And well, of course, and I think what I learned through growing up was you have to work hard for the money. I think a lot of people can relate to that, but my mom worked very hard. There were times where she would work her full-time job during the day, and then she would go and work at the post office at night so that we could have a great Christmas. I saw her switch a few times in her careers, not very many. For the most part, there was three careers that she had maintained, and she maintained them for a long time. And I always knew, because of how often she worked, because of how many jobs at one time that she worked, that we weren't that well off. I also knew from going to school, right? I can't say I didn't fit in, because my mom did everything she could to give me everything I wanted or everything I needed. And I felt like I fit in, but I knew that we weren't as well off as others. But I think the biggest thing that comes back to mind is we never, ever once talked about money. I don't recall talking about the importance of saving. I don't recall the importance of investing. I don't recall many conversations around money, except for the fact we don't have any right now. and not to discredit my mom, because I don't believe she grew up talking about money. I don't believe that she knew enough to have those conversations with me, which is fine. And so as I am now 40, I have to start changing my mindset, because I have a scarcity mindset.
What is that?
I feel like there's never going to be enough. I feel like as soon as I get it, I'm going to lose it. And
so if you don't use it, you lose it.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
But I have this scarcity mindset. And again, it's something that I'm going to dig into, and I'd love to do it on the podcast. And I want to start to change that. But I always felt like there was never enough. And I still feel that way. And I feel like I'm going to lose it if we have it. Right? I feel like there has to be so much control over it too at the same time. I check my bank account every day, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't talk about money very often. And what I knew growing up was that we didn't have a lot. What I also knew is that my mom struggled a lot of times to make ends meet. And oh, I'm getting emotional. See, this is why we're doing this. This is so hard. But, you know, I love everything that she taught me, but I don't want to put our kids through the same thing. And I'm already seeing myself doing that. And so I'm ready to change. I'm ready to fix this mindset so that our kids have a different mindset around money as well.
Well, let me change the subject.
That was hard.
Let me lighten the mood a little bit, because that's what I do. When I was in fourth grade, we moved to Las Vegas when I was in third grade from Anaheim, California. And I think up until third grade, I don't really remember any kind of classes, you know, like who had more money than I or anything like that. I don't think that entered my mind. But the minute I moved to Vegas and started school there, it was different. I noticed that there was like, they were literally called the rich kids. And they had the Nike Airs. They had the starter jackets, you know, they had all those things that up until that point I had no idea about, didn't care about or anything. And like all of a sudden, guess what? I wanted Nike Airs. I wanted starter jackets. Like it was just like, I just wanted to be like them. And it was so strange because I don't remember that prior to moving to Vegas. I wanted Nike Airs, you know, like that was right when pumps came out too.
Yeah, I remember those.
and like I literally didn't even know about pumps. I thought pumps made you even taller. I didn't know they tightened your shoe. I just knew that I wanted them and they made me taller for basketball. And so my parents would not buy me that stuff. I'll get back into our history, but they wouldn't buy those shoes. And so my mom would say like, "Oh, if you want them, you got to pay for them yourself." So I just did that, and that's all I focused on. Shelby knows this about me. If there's something I want, I'm going to do it. Not just buying things, but just, like, you know, fitness, challenges, those kinds of things. If I set my mind to it, I'm going to do it. And so I bought my very first pair of Nike Airs. They were the Andre Agassi model, and I cherish them. I would wear them to school, and when I got home, I would wash the shoe, like clean it. I even would scrub the bottoms of the soles so that they would look new for the next day to wear them. And this like went on for months until I melted them by the fire. But
oh, no.
When we moved to Vegas, like I said, I remember school shopping. At, you know, it was like Mervyn's or whatever. You know, the cool shirts at the time were Top Dog and like Massimo. And like, we just didn't get those shirts. We got like the Union Bay ones or whatever. And I specifically remember the shoes I got from Payless. They were called Eagle Flyers, but they were made to look just like the Jordans. And it was almost worse because they like copied them so bad, but they were just called Eagles. And I just kind of remember being super bummed about that, which is like such a selfish thing to do. But, you know, as a kid, you don't think about what it takes to put those shoes on you and how much they cost and stuff. And I think we try to teach that with our kids. But it's a struggle.
It is.
What's your, like, when you think of a successful person, like I, in my head, have an experience, like a time in my life that I equate still to this day to success. Like, and I remember that kind of messed me up, I think, because for the longest time, everything I did was thinking about, like, oh, I want to impress them. I want them to know that I'm successful. So I'll tell mine, but what's yours? Like, do you have, like, a person, or is there an experience or a moment or something that happened or that you were involved in that kind of, like, you equate today to success?
I always had this mindset that money was a symbol of worth. And I had an uncle, my Uncle George, love him very much. And, well, he's my cousin, but I call him Uncle George, you know. And growing up, I put him on a pedestal. I thought he was the most successful person in my life. He had a beautiful home. He owned his own business. He owned an auto body business. And he was confident when I would see him, and he was always the life of the party. And if I can remember, for the most part, he had nice cars, but yeah, they weren't brand new. They were used.
Blue Cadillac.
I mean, well, yeah. he had a Hummer, you know, back when those are cool. But
boat, RV.
Yeah, and he did all the fun stuff, right? We went on the houseboat with him, and I just always looked up to him and thought, wow, this is success. And I think I've carried that for a really long time. And when I think about individuals today, it's very, very similar. It's funny that you asked this question, because now as I'm getting older, I think success starts to change what I view success as. Because everything I talked about just now linked back to money. And what I'm starting to learn is success is about fulfilling goals that you have, about fulfilling or even being selfless and helping other people. So I think it's starting to shift as I get older and as I really start to think about what success means to me. What was yours?
So in high school, I started dating this girl, and her family was like, my first meeting of them, I went to her house and they were shooting a commercial in their house. And I was like, what do your parents do? Are they actors? And she's like, no, they just own their own company and they're doing an infomercial. And I just thought it was so cool. And I just thought that was so cool. So throughout our relationship, I always saw that her parents were always home. Like, they had the hugest house. They literally had a room in their house that was lined with golf clubs, because her dad loved to golf, and it was also lined with mirrors so you can see your stroke in different, yeah. And they had like the TV room, and like he collected cars. He had a Porsche 911 Turbo convertible with camel leather interior. He bought a Ferrari, and he was success to me, he made it clear that he was success. He was always making me feel like I wasn't successful, because I never felt successful around him, even though I was just in high school. But what I did admire about him is he and his wife were always home. Like, it was a family business. Like, the kids were always if they had to go to the office, the kids went with them, you know, and they always went on great vacations. They took me along. And it's weird because it wasn't a bad experience, but after that relationship ended, I think subconsciously I just was like, okay, when I get a job, I gotta have this title on my business card so that if he ever saw it, he'd know that I was doing a good job.
Yeah.
I gotta drive, a nice car, because if I ever ran into him, I don't want to be driving some hunk of junk, right?
He really had an impression on you.
It's weird. Yeah. When I was preparing for this episode, thinking about all that just kind of brought it all back again. And it's just in retrospect, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
But even right now, I'm like, fuck, what if I saw him right now? And I've got this project car I'm working on. Sometimes it doesn't start. What if I'm trying to start it in the parking lot and he's there? I'm going to look like this moron, 40 years old, can't get it together, you know, but at the same time, that car brings me so much joy. It's so cool, you know, when it does work. But I think that relationship and all the conversations and things I experienced there financially, money and stuff like that, definitely laid the groundwork for what I felt was success and who was successful and why you always have to portray success. But yeah, I think ultimately, like, successful person to me is just like, it's how you portray yourself. So like, you, like your Uncle George, maybe he had a good year, he's got, bought a bunch of nice things, has the same house and stuff, and it's a really nice house. I remember going to his house. I remember the deck needed to be fixed. And,
yeah.
But I do remember walking into that bathroom, and it was like a spa. There was like, probably not a waterfall, but I remember there being a waterfall and a giant tub, right? So I feel like money's kind of like, you know, good ideas. You have some, you use them, you're going to get some more. And then you die. And then you die. But like, how do you feel about money? I know you feel money is this thing. I call you a border hoarder, kind of as a joke. I feel like you want to hoard money. And not just like money and items, but actual cash. Like, I bet if you could put sacks of money under the mattress, you would.
I would. And I would buy gold bars and put them in our safe. And I would stash money all over the house if I could. And I can. I just, it's weird. I want to hoard it, but then once we have it, I don't want to use it. But then when we have like barely any spending money, I want to spend it all.
That's common. Everybody
it's,
does
it's
that.
It's the weirdest. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah. Anyways.
So you want all or nothing?
I guess. Exactly. Yeah. That sounds so, about right.
Do you remember when we went to go buy our house? You're like, well, I don't want to use my stocks. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
you're like, these stocks are earning money. Like they're going to
invest. Hoarding them.
Yeah.
I was hoarding them.
And guess what? Like, if it weren't for those stocks, we ultimately used the stocks to buy our house. And I forgot who the person was that was like, dummy, use, that's what they're for.
this was so many years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I think it was like our loan officer.
It was our
lady.
First home, yeah.
Because I was like, Shelby, sell your stocks. Like, this, that's enough for a down payment.
Because I was looking into what we could take from 401k, which...
No, you weren't. You would not even touch
Well, that. It was considered, right? And I was no. like, no, because there's fees and this and that.
This
and
was then, before that. You were even, I remember you were just like, oh, we just got to find the money. We got to save the money or like work hard to get the money. And, you know, my stocks stay here. My 401k stays here. It just does nothing. It sits there.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, take the stock money that's like making what, 10 cents a year, buy the damn house and make like, what did we made like 20%.
Oh my God.
We made way tons of money on our house. And admittedly, like I didn't think it'd be that much, but like I did know like, hey, you're just, this money here is growing at this amount, but put it here and it grows at this amount.
Yeah.
And I think that was a major turning point for both of us. That to me was kind of like the first like big boy money thing that we did was buying our house, you know, and it kind of opened up the world of like, and you could see why people, you know, why their wealth grows so quickly. It's because, you know, it's this risk or these transfers and shifts that you do with what you've done. Because like, you know, you've worked for your company, you're still with the same company 20 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part of your payment is these stocks they give you, but you also are able to buy stock. And I think without your company and particularly those stocks, we would definitely not be where we're at.
No, we would not. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, but that's what helped us today, right? That's helped us along the way. And obviously you venturing off and doing your thing has helped us too. But the point I want to get back to is I think you nailed it. I am a border hoarder, especially when it comes to money. And I can't see the value that it has long term. I just think about what's in the account today. And I struggle on that and I ponder on it and I look at it every single day. And that's all I think about. I was watching a movie. I told you this story. Watching a movie. And the guy was admitting his mother into rehab. And he had to like use several different credit cards. It was like $4,000 to get her in. And he got it figured out, right? And paid. And he turned around to say, hey, it's time to go in. And she was like, nope, not doing it, not doing it. And they walked out. And all I could think about through the rest of the movie was, is he going to get that $4,000 back? He tried so hard to figure out how to pay for it. Now it's on credit. He's going to have to pay fees. And that's all I could think about for like 5 minutes into the movie. That's how bad my mindset is. Everything, every time you say you want to buy something, what do I ask?
How much is it?
Do we have money for that? Can we afford it? Right? Every single time. So to go back to my point, I am a hoarder when it comes to money, but it's always on my freaking mind. And I think it's time to get past that. And
money's like little kitty cats for you running around in the house.
It's hard to hoard them. Or not hoard them.
No, hoarders have lots of cats in their house.
Oh, no.
And they die.
Oh, I'm not going to be
so our hoarder. Money's just going to die in our house.
Yeah.
Here we are halfway through this podcast, our first episode. And I'm already thinking like, who the hell am I to be talking about this stuff? I know. Can we get somebody on here, please, that can tell us what the hell we're talking about? Because I'm sitting here talking about like hoarding money, like saving is a bad thing.
And I'm like, trying to dissect my own mental health around money, which probably isn't a good idea.
Yeah. And so here we are, two goons, trying to figure out what we're doing with this money. And it's funny because I just caught myself saying that like hoarding money, aka saving, is ridiculous. And I equated it to feral cats. So if you want to change and go to a different podcast, please do so now. But if you want to learn that everything's going to be okay, which I hope, then stick around. Please.
We clearly need the help. Clearly.
Well, it goes back to like why we're doing this in the first place. Like, we know we're not alone. Like, we go to hang out with people. Nobody talks about their money problems. Even our closest friends, you know, it's just like, it's just an unspoken thing. And it got us thinking sometimes like, man, are we really like just doing it poorly? Like, are we that bad off? Are we making the wrong choices? And it's that stuff that keeps you up at night. But I think knowing that just everybody's going through these kinds of struggles, and what you see is not always what you get. So I think that's the most important thing to think about as we move forward. It's just like, you know, we have this mindset and the way we portray ourselves in public, but you know, we're literally inviting y'all in to open our mail with us now, you know, like
and check our bank accounts. No, just kidding.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, open up that mail. Like, I tend to just leave it sitting on the counter because I know what it is. It's a bill. And I gotta pay it anyways. Like, you saying, hey, bro, pay your bill doesn't make things any different. Like, and Shelby will consistently just keep moving it onto my desk or putting it here. And it's just like, I'm not gonna.
You know why? Because I don't want it to be late and then get a late fee.
But all my payments are automated.
Don't even go there.
It's true.
Okay. Well, I one day aspire to have the mindset like you and to have automated payments.
That sounds like a pre-recorded recording.
Yeah. Well, I aspire to be like you.
Well, I do. Let me say really quickly, though, that I do appreciate your control of the money. It's a necessary evil.
For both of us.
It is, because I'm very emotional, very like into aesthetics and design, mm-hmm. and like well-built things. And coincidentally, all those well-built, aesthetically pleasing things are more expensive. And so I fall for them, and I'm surrounded by a lot of people that kind of do the same thing. It's an interest, but you know, at the same time, you help me quell that a little bit so that I don't go full all in, you know, like hoarder status, which is weird because you hoard sweatshirts, shoes.
Yeah, but it's not a lot, is it? For somebody who works in the retail industry and fashion industry, I mean, I have a reach-in closet. I don't have a walk-in closet. So let's be realistic here.
Is that a thing, reach-in closet? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
That's what ours is called, I think.
So what's, just out of my curiosity, what's like the furthest top corner of the closet that I get to use called?
A shelf?
Is that the husband's area?
Stop.
I get a shelf in our closet. For the record.
That is not true. It's split half and half. Everything is split half and half.
Our closet is 3/3, and Shelby has 2/3 of it.
No. You also have the one with the shelves and the weird... Anyways, we're not going to go there. I have a question I want to ask you because I'm really curious. And I don't know if I've ever really asked you this question or we've really talked about it. Don't worry, it's nothing.
I only love you.
You ready to get financially naked?
Yeah, that's a good one.
No, seriously, though, I think it was a couple years ago where when I think of the term financially naked, where I sat down with you and said, hey, I don't think you're connected to what's going on with the money because, A, I'm so controlling and I just take care of everything and just deal with anything. I don't talk about it. Where I sat down with you and was like, hey, I'm going to lay this out. This is what we have. This is where we're at. This is the position that you're in. And I think that's one of the key pieces to getting financially naked. What we never, I don't think, got to was, what are the goals? What are your goals? What are my goals? Do we align?
When was that?
That was like 2 or 3 years ago. I sat you down in the office and said, hey, look at this.
I remember
right?
that. We might get in a fight in this episode. I remember that. And that was like I had just kind of got my stride as a self-employed person. I'm making more money than I ever had. In my head, I'm like, I've been making double what I used to make at like my corporate job, yeah. Right? It probably wasn't because, you know, they take taxes out and stuff like that. But then you just see that check coming and it's just like, wow, like I'm doing great, making mm-hmm. so much money.
Yeah.
And then to have my wife, Shelby, say, hey, like you can't get a coffee every morning because we don't have any money. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, we got money. And then she showed it to me and I was just like, this just does not equate. And I remember, I don't feel like we ever had any resolve because in my head, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And you're like, it's all right here. I remember just like, it didn't make sense to me. Like, I just know that this was going on. And then I remember like, you were doing like maxed out 401k, like saving all this money on your end, like buying stocks and like contributing not as much to our collective pot. Like we have joint accounts, right? So I was like, how come I'm putting in all this money? Shelby's putting in no money or little money, sorry. And we don't have any money. Like put in more money. Come to find out though, we, and this will probably be an episode.
Yeah.
Credit card debt. Unknown.
Everyone has it. Well, a majority. Anyways.
So this, again, goes to my personality of like, and Shelby brought this up, you know, like, hey, let's go on this lavish vacation. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, making tons of money. Like, In fact, I had to literally leave a day later, fly straight to Mexico by myself to go on this trip. So I thought I was like this money-making jet setter. Like, yeah, of course I can afford this trip. Did not know it was going on credit cards. I should have asked. Like, hey, how much was the trip? Like, can we afford it? But no, it was just like, I just assumed, like, we're doing great. Let's go on this trip.
Yeah.
Or Shelby saved for it because I always trusted, like, she just has that mindset. Like, oh, we're going to Mexico in 6 months. Better start saving this much now so we have enough by then. Where I'd be like, oh, shit, we got to go to Mexico. So to me, like, that kind of was like the aha, like we were making good money, but at the same time we were outspending ourselves. So, and I think that's something that a lot of people deal with also is like you don't have money for a while or things are really tight and tough.
Yeah.
And the minute there's like that glimmer of hope and sunshine, you're just like, everything's great.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's take out the credit card on that. Like, let's do this. Let's do that. And so that's something that we should talk about is just like you feel like you're just grinding and grinding and grinding and then all of a sudden you feel like, hey, maybe things are like working out so we can spend.
Yeah.
But you still got to be careful not to overspend.
Definitely.
So I remember that conversation and I remember just being like so dumbfounded. Like, We're making so much money. Where is it going? It goes to your living expenses, your one coffee every day and pastry equaling $12 every day.
Yeah.
Like, it adds up.
Just going back to that, getting financially naked, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get naked. Sorry. I just kept my underwear on.
Stop.
My financial underwear.
You know, to be fair, you're right. It went back to my ability to hoard money. I had stocks I was investing in. I was investing 401k. I was putting money in our safe that nobody knew about. I was putting money in our savings. But yet, then again, I struggled to pay for this trip with the cash that we had. I struggled to pay off whatever debt we had acquired when you started the business. Let's keep that fair, because there was times where it got to a point where we didn't have the savings that we needed and the paycheck wouldn't come. But then it would come in big chunks, right? And then we would have fun and we would explore and whatever. So we weren't great at managing our money, period. And so again, I think a lot of it goes back to my hoarding abilities. But the point I want to get to is taking that step, setting down and saying, hey, whoever is responsible for the money or whoever manages the money, saying, hey, this is where we're truly at. This is what we have in the bank. This is what we have in debt. This is what we have for our future. Like, this is where we're at. And I think that was that step that you're talking mm-hmm. about, right? And I think that turned a huge corner for us. I don't believe we're financially free in the sense of what I feel financially free is. However, I think we're in a good position. Yeah, but I don't think we're in a good position, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, where we know what to do with our assets, or we know what to do to grow the money or to better us long term. And so, again, going back to this, why we're doing this, I think this is really going to help us when we start to bring the experts in and talk to them. We understand where we are financially, right? We're doing this podcast to learn about finances, investment, I mean, everything from mental health, budgeting, investing, you name it. We're here to learn and we're here to share and help other people learn. And so my question is, I guess, what's your financial goals, short-term, long-term? Do you want me to start to give you examples or? Like, I'll give you one example. So one of my short-term goals right now financially is to get a will or a trust. Okay. We don't have one.
Nope.
So what happens when something happens to one of us or both of us? Or I should say both of us, because that's really, I think I don't know. I need to learn more about them. Either way, what happens, right? And so that's one of my short-term goals in regards to us moving towards that financial freedom.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's like one of those things you're always just like, yeah, we should have one of those. And then you forget about it. And then you get older and older and older. And before you know it, you didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's a great idea. I can get behind that one. I think the first thing I thought about when you asked that was my business.
Yes, we're on the same page.
I think I, like most business owners, operators, just kind of went all in, not knowing the future. Maybe it's that taking that step thing where it's just like, I don't know what's going to happen, where it's going to go, but I just got to do this. It's given me a lot of awesome moments in my career, like, you know, signing the biggest job or,
yeah,
you know, like gaining a new client that's like with repeat work is like always amazing. But then it's like comes tax time and it's all like, hey, 1099s for all of the people you hired. And like all that stuff is so confusing to me. And yeah. I just rather not do it. You know, along the same lines is like setting aside the proper money for taxes and fees that are associated with owning your business, setting up your business properly. Like right now, I'm just a sole proprietor, LLC, which at the time I set up was like good. But now I'm realizing that it's not the best situation for my business. I need to change and grow. Like I just can't stay stagnant. And I feel like what I'm doing now is kind of remaining stagnant on the business end of my work, while I focus more on like the creative growth, you know, upgrading equipment, all that stuff is like on the forefront for me.
Yeah.
But I need to really just go back and get that financial foundation a little more secure, I think, in order to help grow the business even more, because I feel like I'm very close to just being like this stagnant spinning guy.
Like a hamster in a wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good one. Somebody should patent that one. I feel like I'm a hamster in a wheel right now. And, you know, to what end? So that's business.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is on my number four.
I'm just joking.
That is my number four short-term goal, is to figure out the business finances. And you know it's hard, because I don't want to get involved, because it's your business. However, there's this control part of me that's like, are you putting money away for taxes? Are you doing this? Are you doing that?
No.
And that's why I'm like, okay, I would feel so much better if I helped you figure it out, or we hired somebody else to help you figure it out. Because right. I know it's not your favorite part. You're not the expert in that. It's like we have to hire somebody to do it, to give us a long term. What is it when you got a return on investment, ROI, right? So we got to hire somebody. By hiring that person, we will get our return on investment, because they will help us work through the money side of things. And I'm so glad that you said that.
So any small business financial advisors out there, hit us up.
Hit us up. Be our guest. Come teach us.
But if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not that good at your job. So
so if you know someone who's really good at that, let us know ASAP.
I think, another short-term goal of mine is to get into a better understanding of stocks. And that's something we've talked about our whole lives together, is understanding the stock market and how it all works and stuff. But I would love to invest more regularly in stocks and monitor it more. And then I also want to do a 401k for myself, because I've talked to you about this. Like, Shelby had this like bumping 401k, like max contribution, but her company matches it, so there's no reason not to. But I don't have any 401k. I think I have like $680 left over from like one of my very first jobs. And I want that, because I told Shelby, if she like meets some young handsome dude with muscles and leaves me, like, she's got 401k, but I don't.
Nope, not in the state of California. Not in the state of California. It's yours too.
Well,
that'll never happen.
We'll see what the courts have to say about that. But it got me thinking, like, you know, I should have a 401k too, because, you know, this retirement thing that everybody talks about, your parents talk about, it's actually not your parents, your grandparents kind of talk about it. Not too many people I know are retiring these days. So like, that's where I struggle with, like, dude, if I'm not going to be able to retire, like, what the hell's the point of saving money for retirement? Like, spend it, get something cool now while you're alive and able to still walk and stuff. Like, I just can't imagine. I don't know. It's
being
hard for me
95 and still working and not.
I'll hopefully be dead by 95. The last thing I want to do is have Shelby changing my pants or anything like that, because. But I'm officially.
I'll do it for you, though. You know I'll do it.
I'm 40 now. I'm too old to die young now, so I'm already in that category. And it's. I think I want to set up some kind of savings, and this brings up something that we haven't talked about yet. We're very selfish. Do you want to know why?
Why?
We haven't mentioned our kids any once.
Oh, I did.
Well, we talked about them, but not like saving money for our kids or setting up their life. I see it on your list, but look, we're an hour and a half into recording and we haven't even said anything about like their financial futures.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that 401k stuff, like that kind of long-term savings, isn't going to be for us. It's going to be for them.
Yeah. And to go back to what you want to work on is the investment side of things. One of my goals was diversifying the current portfolio that we have. But on top of that, it's opening up investment accounts for our kids. And I want to do that, but I feel like we need to know more before we do that. And so I think that's a fantastic goal, because we're on the same page.
No more what? Money? Know more about money?
No, know more about investing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so overwhelming to me. I think I should just have somebody else do it. Or you're really good at learning about things and
research.
Understanding and research. Yeah. Wherever I am not, I'm like, just give somebody else. Give it to somebody else. Have them do it. You would be really good at that. And so maybe I'll just leave that up to you.
That's that's okay to do. But I did try to do that and...
We don't need to go there. That was a bad moment. Let's just X that day. Like, can I do like the Men in Black thing where your memory is gone? I erase your memory and do whatever you want.
Whoa, who are you? You're so lovely.
Okay. That's too soon, babe. Too soon. I also want to get life insurance for both of us. I've had the option to, but clearly medical conditions prevent us from doing that. But now that we're 40, do you know it's going to be even more expensive? What? More expensive to get life insurance.
Yeah.
Now that we've reached 40.
Well, do you remember when you got me that Xbox for my birthday?
No. I bought you an Xbox.
Yeah. We were living in the apartment in Studio City. You got me an Xbox the skateboard game. So remember when it got the red ring of death and it stopped working and you're like, oh, don't worry, I paid extra for the warranty.
Yeah.
So I called them up and I was like, hey, my Xbox is broken, but my wife paid extra for the warranty. And they're like, oh, well, the warranty doesn't cover that. And come to find out, like, Shelby spent almost, you know, half the product amount for this warranty that didn't cover anything. So that's like my biggest fear with life insurance. Like, I'm going to die of a cough, but they're going to be like, oh, we don't cover coughs.
Yeah. Well, I did some research and I did find a few things out about life insurance, and you got to be really careful because there are these little hidden, what do you want to call them? Rules or things that are going to prevent you from getting
fine
what
print.
You believe. Yeah, fine print, right? What you believe you put all this money into, you're not going to get all that money back. But I still think it's something that we should definitely look into, although you have this perception of that.
Okay.
Two things that I would suggest coming out of the experiences that Lee and I have been through, and even today. First and foremost is get financially naked. Whether it's with a partner or it's by yourself.
Yeah, because when you're financially naked, then you can get financially busy. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I just think that's so important. And what that means is really just going through and talking about where you are personally, talking about where you are together, right? And laying everything out on the table. And then the other thing I think is important is that you start to sit down and talk about your goals. What are your financial goals as a couple? I think Lee and I had an idea and assumed what our financial goals were, but this honestly was the first time in 15 years that we sat down and had this conversation. And so I think it's really, really important that you align with your financial goals, or you're not going to be able to be financially free or get to that point, right? Or as Lee would say, get busy.
Financially busy.
Get financially busy. Thinking about doing this podcast sounds really fun and exciting. But when I think about the importance of being vulnerable and being honest while doing this because of what we're trying to do, not only for ourselves, but even for those who are listening, when you brought up the story about, hey, we have debt, it was hard for me to accept the fact that that is going to be broadcast. And you know what? That's okay. Because this right here, being true to ourselves, being true to who we are, is what's going to help us along this journey. And I think it's important if we be honest too.
So we know we're not alone. That's why we're doing this right now. We have so many things to learn and share with you, but we want to hear from you also. Let us know what fresh financial snacks you want us to mull over in future podcasts. Hey, thank you for coming to the party. If you had a good time and want to party more, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to humor us with your suggestions, questions, and confessions, go to moneypartypodcast.com and dial into the party hotline. While you're there, you can also request to be a guest on our show.
Find us at Money Party Podcast on Instagram and moneypartypodcast.com.